Almighty God, Heavenly Father, by your great goodness, we are permitted to enter your house and worship in your holy temple. Lead us all, O Lord, in righteousness, even as you prepare the way before us for our spiritual well-being through the forgiveness of sins. Guide us in our worship this morning so that we grow in grace and truth to honor and to praise you for your indescribable gift, your Son, our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Welcome this morning to our worship service on this second Sunday of Advent. We pray that the Spirit of our God will be poured out upon us as we worship our Savior in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We've come into the presence of God who created us to love and serve Him as His dear children, but we have disobeyed Him and deserve only His wrath and punishment. Therefore, let us confess our sins to him and plead for his mercy. Merciful Father in heaven, I am altogether sinful from birth. In countless ways I have sinned against you and do not deserve to be called your child. But trusting in Jesus my Savior, I pray, have mercy on me according to your unfailing love. Cleanse me from my sin and take away my guilt. God, our Heavenly Father, has forgiven you all of your sins. By the perfect life and innocent death of our Lord Jesus Christ, he has removed your guilt forever. You are his own dear child. May God grant us grace and strength to live according to his will. Amen.
Lord, have mercy on us. Christ, have mercy on us. Lord, have mercy on us. Glory to God, we give you thanks and praise. Of heavenly joy and peace on earth we sing. We worship you. To you our hearts we raise, Lord God, all. Father's only Son. You bore for us the load of this world's sin. O Lamb of God, your glorious victory won, receive our prayer, grant us your peace within. Alone, O Christ, you only are the Lord, at God's right hand in majesty most high, with the Spirit worshipped and adored, with all the heavenly host we glorify.
Let us pray. Stir up our hearts, O Lord, to make ready the way of your only begotten Son, so that at his second coming we may worship him in purity, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Good morning.
Good morning.
First of our Bible lessons today is drawn from Isaiah the prophet in chapter 40, a pretty familiar prophecy, and especially we focus in on oftentimes during the season of Advent because it contains the prophecy of the forerunner of Jesus, John the Baptist, which Isaiah made 800 years before it actually happened. And of course, the work of that forerunner of John would be to get the people ready for Jesus by preaching the message of the law and the gospel, their need for a Savior, and the good news that we have such a Savior sent to us by God, in whom we have forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation. This message of comfort is recorded in Isaiah 41 to 11. Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and proclaim to her that her hard service has been completed, that her sin has been paid for, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. The voice of one calling, in the desert prepare the way for the Lord, make straight in the wilderness a highway for our God. Every valley shall be raised up, every mountain and hill made low. The rough ground shall become level, the rugged places a plain, and the glory of the Lord will be revealed. And all mankind together will see it, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. A voice says, cry out. And I said, what shall I cry? All men are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall, because the breath of the Lord blows on them. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of our God stands forever. You who bring good tidings to Zion, go up on a high mountain. You who bring good tidings to Jerusalem, lift up your voice with a shout. Lift it up. Do not be afraid. Say to the towns of Judah, here is your God. See, the sovereign Lord comes with power, and his arm rules for him. See, his reward is with him, and his recompense accompanies him. He tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms and carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those that have young. So far, the first lesson. We join in reading responsively portions of Psalm 85. You showed favor to your land, O Lord.
You restored the fortunes of Jacob.
You forgave the iniquity of your people.
And covered all their sins.
Show us your unfailing love, O Lord.
And grant us your salvation.
I will listen to what God the Lord will say.
He promises peace to his people.
Surely his salvation is near those who fear him. Love and faithfulness meet together.
Righteousness and peace kiss each other.
And our second Bible lesson today is recorded in 2 Peter, the 3rd chapter, verses 8 to 14. We were reminded last Sunday, of course, the season of Advent. The word Advent means to come, the coming of Jesus. Especially we're mindful of his three comings, Christmas, into our hearts through word and sacrament with his blessings. And the one that's particularly focused on in this particular lesson from Peter, his last coming, his second coming at the end of the world. And we are encouraged to prepare our hearts also for that wonderful day when the Lord will return to take us into our heavenly home. And we do that by the preparations of repentance and faith in Jesus. 2 Peter 3, 8 to 14. But do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar. The elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything in it will be laid bare. Since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be? You ought to live holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming. That day will bring about the destruction of the heavens by fire, and the elements will melt in the heat. But in keeping with his promise, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth, the home of righteousness. So then, dear friends, since you are looking forward to this, make every effort to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with him. Here ends the second lesson. Remember, O Lord, your great mercy and love, for they are from of old. Blessed are they who hear the word of God and treasure it. Alleluia.
Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. These words are written that we may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia.
This morning's confession of faith is the Nicene Creed, found on the back page of the liturgy insert. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Comfort ye my people, speak ye peace, thus saith our God. Comfort those who sit in darkness, mourning neath their sorrows, Lord. Speak ye to Jerusalem of the peace that waits for them. Tell her that her sins I cover, and her warfare now is over. Yea, her sins our God will pardon, blotting out each dark misdeed. All that well deserved his anger, he no more will see or heed. She has suffered many a day, now her griefs have passed away. God will change her pining sadness into ever-springing gladness. Hark, the herald's voice is crying in the desert far and near, calling sinners to repentance, since the kingdom now is here. Oh, that warning cry obey, now prepare for God a way. Let the valley rise to meet him, and the hills bow down to greet him. Make ye straight what long was crooked, make the rougher places plain. Let your hearts be true and
God's word for meditation today is written in Mark chapter 1, verses 1 through 8. Beginning of the gospel about Jesus Christ, the Son of God. It is written in Isaiah the prophet, I will send my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way. A voice of one calling in the desert, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight paths for him. And so John came, baptizing in the desert region and preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. The whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem went out to him. Confessing their sins, they were baptized by him in the Jordan River. John wore clothing made of camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. And this was his message. After me will come one more powerful than I, the thongs of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. So far the text. In the name of Jesus Christ, our blessed Advent King and Savior, dear fellow redeemed, often doesn't it happen as you travel down the highway in your car to some destination, you happen upon those beautiful orange-colored signs by the side of the road proclaiming the wonderful message, road work ahead. Seems like almost every trip I go on, I meet up with some of those signs somewhere, and along with the barrels that are orange, that obstacle course you got to go through. And when it happens, I oftentimes think to myself, oh no, not road construction again. I'm going to get caught up in traffic again, slow down, and maybe have to stay behind one of those 18-wheelers for who knows how many miles. Road construction can be annoying, especially if you're in a hurry to get to where you want to go. But as we all know, it's just one of those things we have to put up with. Back where I come from, there's a saying, in Wisconsin, there's only two seasons, winter and road construction. So what's this got to do with Advent and Advent worship? What's interesting to note, isn't it, how Isaiah in our Old Testament lesson and Mark in our text talks about road construction. Of course, they are not talking with reference to building a highway out of gravel or concrete, but a spiritual road into our hearts, into which Jesus may travel and convey to us all the blessings of his love once again this Christmas. Forgiveness, life, and salvation. As Christians, we recognize the importance of constructing such a spiritual highway for Jesus in every season of the church year, but during Advent, we especially think about it because, as mentioned, we want to provide the Savior an easy on-ramp into our hearts at Christmas time to receive from him those presents that he wants to give us, spiritual gifts. In our text consideration today, we're going to be reminded all about this and of the importance of making proper preparation for Christmas by building for Jesus an Advent road. How? By repenting of our sins with a godly sorrow, and by looking to Jesus with a heart of joyous faith, looking to him for forgiveness. So let's begin by taking a trip back in time to the days of Isaiah. We want to give him a listen as he proclaims that message to the people of his time. As we heard in our Old Testament reading, in the desert prepare the way for the Lord, make straight in the wilderness a highway for our God. Every valley shall be raised up, every mountain and hill made low. The rough ground shall become level, and the rugged places a plain. So Isaiah was foretelling, again, 8 centuries before it actually took place, how God was going to send John the Baptist, to get the people ready for Jesus by reminding them of the importance of building an access road for Jesus to travel on into their hearts. Just like great kings back in Bible times would send messengers on ahead to cities that they were planning to go instructing the citizens to make sure that the access roads to their city were in good shape, to honor their king in this way, and to remove any possible hindrances from him coming to them. So why was the message of John so important to the people of Palestine living at the time of Christ? Well, you know that the pathway to the hearts of so many had been blocked up with so many obstacles and barriers that were preventing Jesus from coming to them with his blessings. There were the hills of human pride, people who believed they didn't need Jesus to come and save them from their sins. They thought they could help themselves by their own moral goodness, people like the self-righteous scribes and the Pharisees. There were the mountains of materialism. People were living for the here and now, whose lives are all about enjoying worldly thrills and comforts, having no thought or interest in acquiring the treasures of Christ that he came from heaven to give them for their comfort and joy in the world to come. And there were the deep valleys and the rugged places of despondency and despair. Those who thought because of the sins that they had done, they were groaning beneath their sin guilt. I've done too many bad things. There's no hope for me. No way, no heaven in my future. And there were many who had, a distorted view of what the promised Messiah was going to be like. He'd come as an earthly leader to free them from their earthly foes, the Romans, and the truth of Isaiah in another one of his chapters, 53, that we treasure so much, about the Messiah who would grow up like a tender shoot, like a root out of dry ground, who had no beauty or majesty to attract people to him. There would be nothing in his demeanor that they should desire him. He'd come as a man of sorrows, to be wounded for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquities, by whose wounds their souls would be healed from the dread sin diseased, who would come to crush their spiritual foes, death, Satan. It had faded almost completely from their consciousness. And so some highway construction work needed to happen. The road grader of God's law had to be brought in to level the mountains and flatten the hills of pride. The self-satisfied needed to be shown their real condition before the holy, holy, holy God and the dark and gloomy destiny they were heading for without a divine Redeemer. And those troubled by their sins, feeling hopeless and helpless, there's no heaven for me, they need to be lifted up out of their doldrums and comforted by the assurance that where their sins abounded, God's grace abounded more. Law and gospel proclamation, that was the job the Lord gave to the forerunner, John. And we know that the Holy Spirit blessed John's work, for we read in our text that the whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem went out to him confessing their sins and were baptized in the Jordan River. So yeah, John's message made a deep impression on folks. Not everybody, but on a great many. A broad, smooth straightaway was constructed by the Holy Spirit on which Jesus could travel unhindered right into their hearts and bestow on them his heavenly gifts. Of course, today, dear friends, the same road building work of the Holy Spirit is just as important, isn't it, as it was back in that time. It's one of the most important preparations that you and I can make for Christmas, that we might celebrate it aright, and that we might enjoy all the blessedness of the Yuletide festival. It's important that we not only carry out the outward preparations, but the inner preparations, that we take a good look, an honest look at our hearts and lives, and that we repent of our sins with a godly sorrow. That we say with the psalmist, "Have mercy on me according to your unfailing love, O Lord. According to your great compassion, blot out my transgressions. Wash me, and I will be whiter than snow. Hide your face from my sins, and blot out all my iniquity. Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me." And in this Advent road building for Jesus, in our confessing of our sins to the Lord, it is good and helpful and important also to be specific, not just say, of course, nobody's perfect, I know I'm sinful, but to examine ourselves in the light of the Ten Commandments and note specific areas of spiritual weakness. It may be the sin of confusing priorities, living sometimes like this world were our eternal home, not heaven. Or being lackadaisical towards the Word, or lukewarm in our interest for Bible reading or receiving of the Lord's Supper, or too busy to do those kinds of things, or maybe to log into our online worship services if we can't get here to church because of COVID, or the sin of chafing under crosses that the Lord in His wisdom calls upon us to bear, or fretting about them. Things in our lives as if the Lord were not standing at our side and directing everything as a loving Heavenly Father for our good. The sin of letting the vices floating around in our world like a virus, the lust virus, the greed virus, the jealousy virus, the impatience virus, selfishness, and so forth, to find a landing spot in our hearts, to infect us. Words of John the Baptist ring out loud and clear to us again this Advent season. Prepare the way before Him. Prepare for Him the best. Cast out what would offend Him, this great, this heavenly guest. Make straight, make plain the way, the lowly valleys raising, the heights of pride abasing, His path all even lay. In the message John proclaimed to the crowds on the banks of the River Jordan long ago, exhorting them to godly sorrow for their sins against their God, was, of course, also then accompanied, wasn't it, by another message, and that was the comforting, winsome, sweet invitation to look to the Savior with a heart of faith, rejoicing in His forgiveness, full and free. In fact, that was the centerpiece of John's ministry that God gave to him as Jesus' way preparer, to tell everybody, yeah, it's impossible for you to rid yourself of your sin guilt. You can't make yourself holy by anything you do, and I can't either. But I can point you to someone who can. There's one coming after me who is more powerful than I, the thongs of whose sandals I'm not even worthy to bend over and untie. And then He pointed the people to Christ. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And that is the centerpiece of God's Advent message to us as well. It's the message of joy. The Lord wants us to treasure above everything else that we have a Savior sent by Him into our world to provide us with perfect remission for all our sins. That we might have the joy of John's dad, Zechariah. Remember the happy song of thanksgiving that he spoke and he broke forth as he was holding his infant son John, whom he knew was going to be the way preparer for Jesus. Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has come and redeemed his people. He's raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, just as he said through his holy prophets of long ago. Salvation from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to show mercy to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath he swore to our father Abraham, to rescue us from the hand of our enemies and enable us to serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. And you, my child, will be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go on before the Lord to prepare the way before him, to give his people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins because of the tender mercy of our God, by which the rising sun will come to us from heaven to shine on those living in darkness and in the shadow of death and to guide our feet into the way of peace. That indeed is what gives meaning, joy, significance to all of our holiday customs, all the decorating that we do, all the carol singing, all the cookie baking, and the gift giving. In the words of another of our cherished carols, God rest ye merry gentlemen. By the way, pay attention to the comma in that carol. It's very important. It's not merry gentlemen, it's God rest ye merry. God bless you with merriness, Christian gentlemen and ladies and children. Let nothing you dismay, for Jesus Christ our Savior was born on Christmas Day to save us all from Satan's power when we were gone astray. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy. Speaking about gift giving, one of the traditions that we have this year, perhaps you've done some shopping already and wrapping up of presents. Question might be asked, well, what is the present that Jesus wants to receive from you this Christmas in exchange for all the presents that he's given you of his forgiving love? He's going to put that under the tree again for you this year, as he does every year. The answer, of course, is simply our thanks, our heart's devotion and praise for all that he's done for us, a heart of humility that confesses our sins with a godly sorrow and that looks to him in joy-filled faith, a heart that prays, ah, dearest Jesus, holy child, make thee a bed soft, undefiled within my heart, that it may be a quiet chamber kept for thee. And that's also back to the original thought of our sermon. That's the road building that he wants us to do, or actually the Holy Spirit helps us to do. And we love that kind of road building because it's what the Lord is looking for in our hearts. And we know the Holy Spirit will help us to do that once again this Advent and Christmas. And so we pray, Heavenly Father, fill us with the power of your Holy Spirit during this Adventide. Help us to follow the example of John the Baptizer, who prepared the world for the coming of its Savior. Lead us to examine our hearts, cleanse them from the sickness of our sins, O Lord, and prepare us for the coming of your Son, Jesus, at Christmas time. Because he wishes to dwell in our hearts, may we leave no stone unturned, no task undone. And when he comes, may he find our hearts a fit dwelling place. We pray this in his holy and blessed name. Amen. And may the peace of God, which is able to protect you far more effectively than the human mind, guard your hearts and thoughts through Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.
Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence. Take not your Holy Spirit from thee. Restore to me the joy of your salvation. Uphold with your spirit free.
Let us pray. Lord God, Father of all light and wisdom, we give thanks to you for your word, for your laws and commandments, for your sure word of prophecy, and especially for the gospel of the forgiveness of sins through our Lord Jesus Christ. We ask your blessing on all who preach, teach, read, and study your word, that all people may hear the joyous sound of this gospel of grace. O God, fill us with all joy and peace in believing, that being led by the Holy Spirit, we may repent of our own sin and shame and turn to Christ alone for forgiveness and righteousness. Enable us by your Spirit's power that we may abound in hope, serve and love you more purely, obey your word with more willing minds, trust you with greater confidence, and love you above all earthly things. Stir up our faith and zeal, O Lord, so that our hearts may be a proper dwelling place for our Savior. Guard and preserve us so that the devil, the sinful world, and our own flesh may not deceive us or lead us into error and sin. Keep us steadfast and unfaltering in faith and love so that we may one day experience firsthand the gift you have given us in Christ, eternal life in heaven. We pray for your blessing on each of our families, for men and women, parents and children. Give strength and healing to the sick. Give comfort to those who sorrow. Give guidance to our youth. Give joy and hope to the elderly. Give courage to the distressed. And lead all of us to focus our lives on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who in his second advent will receive us and all who believe in him unto himself and unto you, O Father, and the Holy Spirit. In his name we pray these things. We also join to pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Thank you.
The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. We lift them up to the Lord. It is right and beneficial that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and everlasting God. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we magnify your glorious name evermore, praising you and saying,
Holy, holy Lord, God of Sabaoth adored, heaven and earth and full acclaim, shout the glory of your name. Sing Hosanna in the highest, sing Hosanna to the Lord. Truly blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. The same way also, he took the cup after supper, gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
O Lamb of God, O Christ, our Lord, whose blood once shed true life restored, impart your peace, our faith increase, sustain with your mercy and grant us your peace.
Please rise as we conclude our service, beginning with the liturgy on the top of page 20.
O Lord, now let your servant depart in heavenly peace, for I have seen the glory of your redeeming grace. A light to lead the Gentiles unto your holy hill. The glory of your people, your chosen Israel. A glory to the Father, a glory to the Son. All glory to the Spirit, forever three in one. For as in the beginning, is now, shall ever be, God's triune name resounding through all eternity.
Go in peace, serve the Lord with gladness.
My heart has now become your dwelling, O blessed Holy Trinity. With angels I your praises telling, shall live in joy eternally. Lord, may your body and your blood be for my soul the highest good.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Please note once again that the last hymn is in the Tan Hymnal, number 705.